Deuteronomy chapter 8. Let's stand for the reading of the Word of God in verse 10 of Deuteronomy chapter 8. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and hast built goodly houses, and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, and that he might prove thee to do thee good at thy latter end. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers, as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day that ye shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish, because you would not be obedient unto the voice of the Lord your God. Father, we're glad this morning for the privilege to be in the house of God. Thankful, Lord, that you promised to meet with us where two or three are gathered together. Thankful for your people. Thankful for your presence. Thankful for the Word of God. I pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I pray that you'd help me to speak as the oracles of God this morning. Help me to be able to say, thus saith the Lord. And I pray that you give us ears to hear what God has to say to us. We'll give you the glory and honor in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I would like to speak to you for a few minutes this morning on when a nation forgets God. When a nation forgets God. The question in a lot of minds is, why is the American economic system teetering on the verge of collapse? And why do we hear a continual stream of bleak economic news from Wall Street? And what is behind the collapse of respected financial institutions in the United States of America? Well, it's obvious that we are living in changing times. I mean revolutionary times. We have been hit broadside by forces that are altering the very nature of the American nation. In a time when America's military strength is essential to checking the ambitions of a resurgent Russia and to defeat the raging ambitions of a revived Islamic world, we're facing the catastrophic weakening of our military power. The military might of modern nations is limited by their economic power. The only reason that America is strong militarily is because she has been strong economically. The American nation has spent more money on military defense, spends more money than the next 20 nations combined. That is how much we have spent on our military. That's the reason why that whenever crises arises in the world, on the world scene, it is the United States that the world counts on to thwart the ambitions of unruly nations in the world. So, with the collapse of the economic system of the United States of America, will come the collapse of the military system of the United States of America. And there will be an emboldening of our adversaries and a weakening of our response to those that threaten our liberty and our freedom. So there's much at stake. I just want you to know that there's much at stake in the economic crisis that's going on Wall Street this very day. Not only will our nation be imperiled, but little Israel will be terribly exposed by any weakening of the American power. For it has been America that has stood in defense of Israel for all of the years of its existence. It is because of some American support that Israel continues to exist this day. Her enemies would long have driven her into the sea if it had not been for the military might of the United States of America. And if America's military might weakens, it will embolden Iran, her proxies, Hamas and Hezbollah, who are just waiting for an opportune time to annihilate the tiny state of Israel. Only America stands in their way. I said, only America stands in their way. So there's a lot at stake, not just for us, but for the world, in the economic crisis that's going on in this nation right now. Why are we in an economic crisis in the United States of America? Well, a lot of people would say, the problems in the White House, or the problems in the Congress, or the problems maybe in the greed on Wall Street. But I'm telling you that America must learn from the example of God's dealings with ancient Israel in the Old Testament. If we look at my text this morning, we see the problems, the reason for the problems that have arisen in this great nation. Look at God's instructions to Israel as they stood on the borders of the promised land. These instructions that I read to you reveal the reason for America's imperiled economy. And I want you to see this morning. First of all, America has been blessed by God. Notice in verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he hath given thee. You've got to recognize that God is the source of our blessings. The Bible tells us in Psalm 33 and 12, blessed is that nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Did you know that the fundamental character of any nation is determined by the God or gods that they worship? That is what determines the fundamental character of any nation, is the gods that they worship. From its beginnings, America accepted the Christian religion, was founded on the Christian religion, and accepted the God of the Bible. And she benefited immensely from her relationship with the true and living God. I'm telling you, God has blessed this nation like no other nation has ever been blessed in history. From a few struggling pilgrims on the eastern shore, America soon developed into the greatest nation on the face of this earth. 200 years after her independence, she was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. The 20th century has been dubbed by some as the American century. American ingenuity produced a flood of technological advances. American military and economic power were instrumental in defeating the forces of fascism and Nazism in two world wars, and in bringing about the collapse of communism in the Cold War. America's scientists and intellectuals dominated the Nobel Prizes in the 20th century. And after the Great Depression, and especially after Second World War, it seemed like America would enjoy an ever-increasing prosperity and bounty. And any nation that has been so blessed by God has a tremendous obligation to recognize God's benevolence. How have we treated God in this nation when God has been so good to us? How have we reacted to the God who has benefited us so wonderfully? How have we treated that God? Well, we banished His laws from our courtroom. We do not want the Ten Commandments posted in the courtrooms of the United States of America. We banished His Word from the schoolroom. We don't want His Word read in the schoolrooms, nor the commandments posted on the walls of our schools. We have outlawed giving God credit for His creation so that they cannot teach creation in the public schools. Instead, we are taught that our existence is due to the result of, mindless forces of evolution. So we banish God from His creation. We've encouraged exposure to false gods. We brought in other gods to the religious table in America. This is how we have treated the Lord our God, who blessed us and prospered us and gave us such bounty. This is how we have treated the Lord our God. It is no secret why Wall Street is in the trouble that it's in. The problems in Wall Street and the sins on Wall Street are merely the magnified sins of Main Street. I said the sins of Wall Street are merely the magnified sins of Main Street. What's happening on Wall Street is just an enlargement of what happens in the homes of ordinary Americans. The greed that has driven Wall Street to this point is the greed and covetousness that controls the minds and hearts of multiplied millions across this nation. And the sins of Wall Street are just the magnified sins of Main Street in this country. This is how we've treated God, who has been so good to this nation. Secondly, not only has America been blessed by God, but my points lead to this fact that America has forgotten God. In my text, the warning to Israel was, don't forget God. After you've been blessed by Him, after you've been given the promised land, after you have been enriched by Him, don't forget God. Why did God repeat that admonition to Israel? Don't forget God. I tell you why. Because men are prone to forget God. We're prone to forget where our blessings came from. I'm telling you, brother, we have not treated God like He deserves. America has forgotten God. And the evidence is demonstrated in my text. First of all, we ascribe prosperity to human potential. You notice in verses 17 and 18, thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth, so that we ascribe our bounty and blessings to human ingenuity and human potential, and we forget God. You know that any threat to our prosperity, we see that it is met with appeals to the politicians instead of repentance toward God. Did you hear me? I said any threat to our prosperity is met with appeals to politicians instead of repentance toward God. Who's ever said anything about repenting of our sins in this Wall Street crisis? We don't recognize God. We do not We do not ascribe to God the source of our blessings. So we appeal to the politicians to solve our problems. When the problem is in our heart, in our relationship to God, in how we've treated the God that's blessed us. Secondly, we know that we have forgotten God when we do not keep His commandments. He said in my text, in verse 11, "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes, which I command thee this day." Here is the evidence that America has forgotten God. We do not keep His commandments. In fact, we don't know His commandments anymore. I said we don't know His commandments anymore. We are ignorant of the commandments of God. We are content not to know Him. We are content not to know His commandments. It does not bother us what God has said. We don't take any trouble to find out what God has said, much less any trouble to do what God has said. So we are ignorant of His commands. We do not keep His commandments any longer. The Bible tells us that the greatest commandments, there are two of the greatest commandments. Jesus said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. And thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Jesus said these are the two greatest commandments, and all of the others are assumed under these two great commandments. Love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But what have we traded for God's commandments? The Bible tells us in the last days perilous times would come, because men would be lovers of their own selves. Here is the problem in America, that we've traded the love for God for the love of our own selves. Not only did He say that men would be lovers of their own selves, He said men would be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Brother, on a Sunday afternoon, the crowds flock to the Colosseums and the amphitheaters of this country to watch their heroes and idols perform their job of entertainment. Some of the greatest, biggest money makers in this country are the entertainers in this country, because we are in a pleasure-mad society, and we are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. This is how we've treated the God that has blessed us so good. We've traded the love of God for the love of money. And the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Now that doesn't mean that every time a man sins, it's due to the fact that he loves money. But it means that when a man loves money, he will break any commandment to get it. He'll lie. He'll cheat. He'll steal. He'll kill. He'll do whatever it takes in order to get what his heart is set on. The love of money is the root of all evil. Brother, it's driven this nation to the brink of collapse. We've been living on borrowed money. Not only the United States of America's government, but almost every household in America has been living on borrowed money and keeps on borrowing more and borrowing more and borrowing more until at some point, guess what? At some point, chickens come home to roost. At some point, somebody's got to pay. At some point, debts are called in. Bible tells us in James chapter 5, there's a rebuke of rich men. And he said, "You have heaped treasure together for the last days." Thirdly, I want you to know, not only has America forgotten God, but America is on the road to destruction. Verses 19 and 20 of my text says this, "It shall be, if thou do it all, forget the Lord thy God, walk after other gods." Did you know that covetousness is idolatry? You walk after other gods, you serve them and worship them. "I testify against you this day," God says, "that you shall surely perish. As the nations which the Lord destroyeth before your face, so shall ye perish." Because you would not be obedient to the voice of the Lord your God. You may not believe that. But God said, "I testify, you shall surely perish." Do you remember what God said to Adam and Eve? "In the day that you partake of this fruit, you shall surely die." Satan came and said, what did he say? "You shall not surely die." And so he convinced Eve that she could disobey God and escape the penalty that God had set. Do you think America's on that road this morning? No doubt in this building right here, there are many people thinking in your mind, that preacher's gone off on the deep end. Never will it ever happen to America. But I want to tell you what God said. God said, "I testify against you this day. You shall surely perish." Well, if God said it, who is it that's saying you won't? Just keep on going down the road you're going. Keep on behaving like you're behaving. Keep on with the same attitude you've got. You shall not surely perish. If God said you shall perish, who is it that's saying you shall not surely perish? God said, if you want any proof, look at the nations that came before you. Look at what happened to those nations that thought they were indestructible. Look at what happened to those nations that at one time in this world, everybody looked at them and said, hey, they will never perish. But they have perished, and they're buried beneath the rubble of history. The reason that they're buried beneath the rubble of history is because of their reactions to the dealings of Almighty God. "You shall surely perish," the Lord said. And I want you to understand this morning that America, in an advanced state of moral and spiritual deterioration, because we have forgotten God. Yesterday, standing on the streets of the little town of Martinsville, Virginia, there was plenty of evidence that America has forgotten God. I'm telling you, just standing on the streets of the little small town, Martinsville, Virginia, there was abundant evidence that America has forgotten God. To see the young people of this country, to see how lost this generation is, to see how ignorant this generation is of God, to see how far they have gone down the road of rebellion against God with no interest in the Word of God, a sanctified life, knowing and doing the will of God, ignorant of His Word, of His commands, hostile to the truth. We're living in a lost generation. We're living in a generation that has forgotten God. Well, what is the hope for this country? Is there any hope for the United States of America? If there's any hope for the United States of America, it's not in the White House. It's in God's house. If there's any hope for this country, it's got to come from right here. It's got to come from within the Church of Jesus Christ. Somebody's got to wake up. Somebody's got to go to praying. Somebody's got to get a hold of God. Somebody's got to tell the truth. Somebody's got to preach the gospel. Somebody's got to say, hey, this is enough. Somebody's got to say, hey, God is the answer. We must go back to remembering God and keeping the commands of God. The answer is in God's house. This is where America will be saved. If she's saved at all, she'll be saved in the house of God. Hallelujah. I said, if she's saved at all, she'll be saved in the house of God. A revived church is the answer. Modeling an obedient life to God. Speaking the mind of God. Fashioning the character that's taught us in the Word of God, in our children, by disciplining our children. We don't let our children run wild and expect them to live upright lives. We discipline our children. We teach them. We train them. We must not let America forget God. Did you hear me? I said we must not continue to let America forget God. God's been too good to us. What about in your home? Is God forgotten in your family? What are you doing about what God's blessed you with? How are you treating God? How are you living toward God when God has benefited you and blessed you so good? What are you doing to God? Telling you, brother, revival has got to start in the house of God. Right here among the people of God, somebody has got to get stirred up and say, God, we remember your benefits and blessings. And by the grace of God, we will not forget God. And we will not sit by and watch our nation forget God. We must remind people, God is the source of the blessings of any nation. And don't ever forget that the wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. Whenever the devil comes around and says, hey, it ain't so. It don't matter what America does. It don't matter how she lives. It doesn't matter how she treats God. Her prosperity is due to the brilliance of her intellectuals. I'm telling you, brother, you must believe the word of God. We're dependent on the hand of Almighty God. Overnight, we were brought to the brink of collapse. And all of the brilliant men in America don't know how to put it back together again. And the answers are multiplied and contradictory because men do not know what to do. But I'm telling you what to do. Get on your knees and seek the face of God. This is what America must do. If she wants mercy from God, there must be a repenting and turning to God in obedience to the Word of God. We're in a crisis. I don't know. Sometimes I think that we just feel like we'll sail on through all these crises. And there'll never be anything that'll happen that'll affect us. But I'm telling you, brother, God is in control, and how we treat God is going to determine what kind of effect you feel in your own life and in your families in time to come. You know, maybe you're in a hurry this morning, but would you give us just a few minutes here to gather around this altar and ask God for mercy for our nation and plead with God to help us to remember the rock from whence we were hewn. To remember where God brought us from and how God has blessed this great nation. I'm telling you, brother, she's the greatest nation on the face of the earth, but it's only because God has blessed us and had mercy upon us. Would you give us just a few minutes around the altar this morning, Sister Judy? If you'll come to the piano, could we assemble around these altars, saints, for just a little while? These children right here.